us on the party, we will party hard.
Oh, I'm back. I'm Zach. I'm whack. There's too many words that rhyme with Zach.
Yes, there is.
I know everybody listening is really, really happy that my voice is back on these airways, man.
Are they?
Definitely not. Definitely not, man. Oh, man, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. Listen, I had one person hug me in this entire studio.
And who was that?
His name rhymes with Brolana.
Okay. I got it.
Not a single hug from from the females who said I'm a zaddy.
Okay.
Not a single hug.
Well, listen, you still have the Christmas party, as we talked
you
about
know,
before.
Man, there just seems to be a lot of tension in this building. You know, just a lot of tension in this building.
Did you ever get to the bottom of who? I haven't been listening.
No, because everybody's chicken bleep in this building. Yeah.
But I did tell him.
We're like middle schoolers, man.
But I did tell him.
Yeah, here's the plan, Solana.
I feel as if he'll find out for the Christmas party, because I feel like Christmas party, a lot of people are
going
to drink.
I'm going solo.
And when they drink, you know, a lot of people become somewhat relaxed and they open up a little bit more. So I think it's going to happen, the Christmas party.
We're going to spike that punch.
Do we know where the Christmas party's at yet?
No idea. No idea where the Christmas party's at, man. I have isn't there some kind of Thanksgiving event this week that I don't even know about? Some kind of Thanksgiving potluck?
Ooh.
This week?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean.
No one has
told me
anything.
I've been on the emails, but I'm also never in the building at noon, which is when this potluck is happening.
That's true. Same here.
So, and it's quite a drive for me to be here at noon.
Same here.
So, what's going on, Rashad? How you been, man?
I've been great. No complaints.
I've been seeing you and Brian and Dono filling in admirably. A little bit of Solana here and there, right?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, man. Good job, you guys.
Thank you.
It's like I was never even here.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Fun trip, man.
I heard. I saw.
Whoa, man. It was cold. It was cold.
Yes.
Like, I woke up this morning and I was like, this is warm.
I bet.
This is nothing. I came back from Sweden, came back from Ireland. Mission accomplished.
Okay.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I did see that. Congrats.
Thank you, man. Thank you. That was my 2019
goal. Did you get any action?
What happened?
Did you get any action?
No comment.
I love it.
No comment.
I love it. I know exactly what that means.
Plead the fifth.
My man.
Plead the fifth.
Nice.
But let me tell you, man. Like, I went to Dublin, and I hadn't really figured this out.
Okay.
Because I went to Dublin alone, and I booked the trip like 2 weeks before. Because we were going to Sweden, and the people I was going to Sweden with were like, they're going in and they're going out.
Okay.
Like going to Sweden, doing the race, going home. I was like, no. I got vacation time. I got to use the vacation time. They're like, our vacation time doesn't roll over. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else by myself and figure it out. I'm like, where's a good place to go and just catch some brewskis and meet some peeps? And my friend was like, Dublin's really good. I was like, okay, cool, yeah. So I went to Dublin, and you think like you're going to go and meet a lot of Irish people. I met like one Irish person. I met a lot of really cool people from other parts of the world, man. I met some really cool South African dudes.
Oh, nice. I did see that on your story.
They did a haka on my story.
Uh-huh.
That was really cool. I met some Dutch people, Canadians, Israelis. Is that how you say that?
Israeli? Yes, okay. I think it is.
Just want to make sure. Yeah, man. So a lot of fun, but not a lot of Irish people. And so what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to Ireland at some point, probably in the summer, and go around the country and do things. Now, the other thing about Ireland is they drive in the left lane.
Well, you should go with Brian, because the last time we were on, I think on Sunday, yesterday, he was talking about going to Ireland himself sometime next year. So I think you two should get together and try to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely down to go back and explore.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Dublin is, like, the only thing to do there is drink. And there's definitely things to sightsee. But here's the thing, right? So I would – and I never do this, right?
Uh-huh.
I would go out till, like, 12 o'clock, No, I'm sorry. I would go out till like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And then I would go back. I was staying in a hostel. Super cheap. Super cheap.
Okay, first off, how was that experience in a hostel?
I've been in a hostel before.
Okay.
It's super cool.
Okay.
I paid like $70 for 3 nights.
Oh, nice.
Total. Place to stay, bathroom.
Uh-huh.
If you want to cook food, they got a kitchen. Like, a hostel's super. And by the way, Europeans do hostels like nobody's business. It's
oh,
only
real?
Us Americans who have no idea how to compose ourselves in a hostel.
Got you.
It is totally normal for them. But and all I wanted to do was put my stuff down and leave.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't want to pay $200 a night for a hotel room I'm not going to use.
No, I hear you.
So I went there, went out. The first night I did a pub crawl,
mm-hmm.
and I met a bunch of people. We went to like 5 or 6 pubs and ended up at a nightclub, included in the price, 12 euros, which is basically like $12.
Got you.
Free shot everywhere we went. So cool, man. We went to a silent disco. Do you know what a silent disco is?
I'm guessing where you put on headphones.
So
and,
cool, man.
Yeah, that's weird.
So cool, though,
that's
dude.
That's weird. Listen, they did that one time at Brick House. It wasn't with disco, but it was with hip-hop music, and I'm like, yeah, this is very, very weird.
So cool.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun at that, man. But it was really weird. But I would go out till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would sleep till 11, sometimes noon.
Okay.
The sun goes down at 4 o'clock. It's so far north.
Uh-huh.
People don't realize how far north Ireland is. It's like north of New York.
Wow.
So, you know, people start drinking when the sun goes down.
Got you.
So that was my MO. Like, that's what I did for a few days. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm not really going to be sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I will come back to Ireland. First of all, it's 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'll come back to Ireland at another time, like a better time than your summertime when there's
mm-hmm.
more daylight. It's warmer. And I will go around the country and see things. For now, it's my birthday. I just did a 24-hour race. I'm just going to drink.
Gotcha.
Which I never do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all I did. That was all I did for a good 3 days, man.
Okay.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. Great people. Man, I love meeting new people. I really love meeting new people. And, you know, Americans, we when we have conversations...
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've said this on the show before. We try to make it a dialogue, not a debate.
Mm-hmm.
But Americans, you know, I feel like Americans have a tendency to make things a debate very quickly. And that's how people, they fight, you know, violence happens, things like that. But I went there and we had so many conversations about American politics, religion,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And it was refreshing, man.
Yeah.
It was refreshing to just go there and have these conversations. So I had a great time, man. I had a great time. A lot of fun. Sweden was cool, super cold. But I'm back, man. I'm back. So back to our regularly scheduled program.
back
you know
to
how
our, it is.
Back to our. What about you, man? What's going on the last few weeks here?
As you know of the news, that was quite, I wouldn't say depressing, but, you know, I love that guy.
Yeah, I did want to address that.
Yeah, because, you know, that guy has done a lot for me. He's the one that got me in this position I am today. So I was a little disappointed to hear about that. But, hey, that's neither here nor there no more. But other than that, same old, trying to stay on top of my fantasy league, which has been a battle because the last few weeks I've had players on bye week. And, yeah, I think I had a 6-game winning streak. I think the longest in my league. And
look
when
at
my,
you, man.
Yeah, and then when my players hit a bye, then I lost 2 straight. And I'm on the verge of losing 3 straight if Austin Eckler can't give me at least 9 points tonight.
You'll get 9 points.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Real quick, let's get to our headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Not a lot of headlines today, man. Just Monday Night Football, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Monday Night Football, Chiefs Chargers from Estadio Azteca in Mexico, 8:15 kickoff tonight as the Chiefs are 6-4. The Chargers are 4-6, so you got a good little battle tonight. We're going to talk to Adam Beasley here at 6:30. We're going to talk to Ira Winderman at 7:30, as I haven't talked to those dudes in a while. So I was like, hey, let's get back on the same page here, boys. But should be a fun show today. What else? Tua Tagovailoa, successful hip surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, we got to talk about that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. I just got back in the country
mm-hmm.
on Friday night. I did a 10-hour flight to make it back for the dribble drive on Saturday, which I did all 13 miles.
Nice.
Landed at 9 p.m. Friday night, did the dribble drive at 6 a.m. Saturday morning.
All Look 13. At you. Beast.
Zaslow was nowhere to be found.
Okay.
He did his little introduction in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
We start dribbling a basketball. I don't see Zaslow for another 11 miles.
I know what. I did see Tobin on yesterday, and he was walking like he was hurting.
Yeah. Look, Tobin, I'm so glad Tobin went, man. Uh-huh. I got some good quality time with Brendan.
Oh, nice.
That was cool, man.
He talked to you?
Yeah. Me and Tobin, we stuck together, bro.
He socialized.
I told
you,
man. Tobin and I, we're bros, man. Like I helped I helped Tobin move into his house like 8 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We're bros, man.
Listen, man. I even told you that. I was like, yo, does Tobin ever talk? Like at the
game?
Well,
yeah. Look, I mean, you gotta understand. He works at 6 a.m. here on the radio, and then he's at the Heat game at 11 p.m. Like it's a long day for Brendan Tobin.
Yeah, but you know. You see a coworker, you could say hello.
Yeah,
this is true.
You could say more than a hello.
But Tobin, you know, he was his very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to tell him, I was like, hey man, so far your PE prediction is
it's
more spot on than mine.
Correct, it is.
He was like, yeah, and I was like, listen, you were right. So far,
correct.
There's nothing I could say.
Mm-hmm.
He's been right. There's nothing I could say about that. So, but yeah, man, super fun, super great. A lot of people.
Oh,
really,
nice.
Really cool. But no Zaslow. Zaslow's dribble drive. No Zaslow.
Zaz was there.
He did the introduction at the beginning, and then he did the last 3.3 miles from Vizcaya.
Well, I'm not going to knock him. This guy had another important event later on that evening.
I don't care. What's more important than raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for cancer?
I don't know. Maybe seeing a good friend get married?
Yeah, 4:30 p.m. That was the start time of that event.
Okay, and?
So
and your event ended.
I flew back from Ireland.
So you're Mr. Air, Mr. Trainer.
Listen, man. Like,
this is true.
This is Zaslow's thing. This was Zaslow's thing. The dribble drive was Zaslow. Last year I did the dribble drive with Zaslow. It was me and four other people.
Okay, and now it was more people this time. The second time it was more people, and he did what he needed
to
do.
Hey, come do my dribble drive, but I'm not even going to do it.
He did it.
Can you imagine that? Like organizing an event, and then you don't even show up to the event?
Yeah, Ja Rule.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
He did show up. He was just like in the background, right?
Yeah.
That was a good one, man. Yeah, no Zaz will be found, man. He did the last 3.3 miles. So
he was there. He just didn't do the full 15 like you other guys.
No, he did not.
All right, so, you know, he played it smart.
And so here's the thing, right? So we got to Vizcaya,
uh-huh.
And there was maybe double the, like, we had maybe 50, 60 people doing the whole 13. Then we got to Vizcaya, there was like 100 and some odd people.
Wow.
But instead of, like, hey, we're picking these people up and we're going to keep going,
uh-huh.
We had to stop for like 30 minutes, man.
Hmm.
We had to stop while they did a whole nother introduction, which they did already at 6 o'clock. Hey, this is a great event.
Yeah.
They should have done that while we were walking.
This is true. That makes more sense.
So we could have got, Tobin explained it like Rocky 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he's training
yeah.
and all the kids are just jumping in the in the running. Like, that's how it should have been. He's 100% right.
Yeah.
That would have been a good look.
And so everybody got all locked up.
Uh-huh.
We've been walking for 11 miles. Then we stopped for half an hour. Then we got another 3.3. So Tobin was hurting, man. He was hurting.
Listen, I saw him, like I said, yesterday. And he was walking like, he did some squats and some more stuff.
Yeah, he was hurting, man. Because, we had to take an Uber back.
Uh-huh.
And once we got, it was like a 20-minute Uber, and once we got out of the Uber, he was limping.
No, because, listen, I can imagine, because someone like Tobin, I'm guessing Tobin doesn't work out like you and I work out, and then to do something like that.
Hey, look, for anybody, 14 miles is a lot.
I mean, it is, but, again, if you're working out, then your body is somewhat, I don't want to say used to it, but your body will adapt to it pretty quick.
Right. Even my feet were a little like, ooh.
Yeah, I can, yeah,
I'm ready
exactly.
I'm ready to sit down, baby.
Uh-huh.
But,
and got to give a shout out to Amber also. Amber was dribbling and a baby.
I mean,
nice.
She did the dash, okay? Let's calm down giving Amber.
Why not? Wait a minute. Have you ever dashed with a baby? Exactly.
What a stupid question.
Okay, then. So don't knock her if she's
I'm not knocking her. I'm just not like, props to Amber, bro.
That's a knock. That's a knock.
Why is... No, I'm not knocking her. I'm just not giving her props.
That's a knock.
That's not a knock.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not here saying, oh, Amber, I can't believe she only did the dash. I'm just not saying, hey, man, props to Amber.
But you just said all she did was the dash.
Correct.
Okay, then. So you based... This guy, always.
Okay, hold on. Okay, first off, how many miles is the Dash.
The Dash was around the arena. That's it.
Oh.
Wow. I see it. I see I see.
I'm with Zach. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
not knocking her. giving her props.
I see the love for the mothers out there. I see the love for the mothers.
There was a lot of mothers during the 13, bro.
With a baby?
Exactly. Children.
Exactly. Listen, I didn't say children. I said a baby.
Listen, Amber could have gotten one of her butlers to watch Cullen, okay?
Oh, now you're trying to say she. You're so foul, bro. Foul. Shout out to you, Amber.
You've heard the morning show. They make fun of Amber way worse than I just did. They have a whole, like, Amber dialect. Wilson. 67974 if you want to text in the show. I don't even know if it's still brought to you by Kendall of Toyota and West Kendall of Toyota. I've been out for 2 weeks, but I'm going to just roll with it. Is it? Is it brought to you by Comp? I have no idea.
I'm sure it is.
I have no idea. Nobody's gotten me any information here. All right. We're going to talk to Adam Beasley at 6:30, Ira Winterman at 7:30. We're going to go over a lot of stuff here with Rashad. Heat, Dolphins. I want to do some Hurricanes talk.
Okay.
I'm looking at this last few weeks of the season with a little bit of a positive inflection here. So We'll definitely get into that. We got to get into this Tua Tagovailoa thing. I haven't spoken to anybody about Myles Garrett because nobody cares about American football in Ireland. So I want to get into that. Really, really a lot of stuff that I want to get into. Interact with us on the text line 67974. Zach Duarte, Rashad Butler will be on the air till 10 o'clock here on 790 The Ticket. Back here on 790 The Ticket alongside Rashad Butler, Zach Duarte, taking up till 10 o'clock tonight. Haven't talked to one of my VIPs in a long time, you know? He's a VIP. Did he say something funny, Vlad? Like, you're laughing. What did he say about me?
Listen, man, leave my friendship with Beezy alone, man. When we talk, we're joking around and conversing our shtick,
well,
all right?
He'll
not yours.
He'll tell me we hang out all the time, so he'll tell me.
Yeah, he tells you nothing.
Joining us now on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest lines, they are truly steps beyond convenient. I have no idea if I still need to read that. I haven't been here in 2 weeks and nobody's told me anything. Covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Huntington, how you doing tonight, my man? What's going on?
Mountain Man, it's good to hear from you, my friend. I'm glad you're alive.
That's me, bro. That's me. I am alive. I am well. I'm feeling good, man. It's good to talk to you, man. I really have missed our back and forth, our camaraderie on the radio.
Yeah. Did you have to grow the body hair extra long to stay warm up there?
I mean, my beard kept me warm. I don't know if you saw those pictures. There's a lot of snow in my beard, bro. It was fun, man. But listen, man, I haven't talked to you in a little while. The Dolphins won 2 games in a row. One of them I was here for, the oh-so-sweet victory against your best buddy, Adam Gase, and then the win against the Colts. And yesterday we kind of saw this team, I don't know, take a step back, right?
Did they take a step back or do they show their true colors? I mean, that's the question. Going into the game, I did not have a good sense that this would be a good week for the Dolphins. They never match up well with the Bills. I think, actually, Buffalo's kind of owned them physically for the last 4 or 5 years. And you look at their metrics, the Dolphins' metrics this year, and they're still a really bad football team. They're being outgained by like 150 yards a game. Their plus-minus is bad. Their point differential is really bad. I mean, I ran the Bill James equation to figure out what their record should be based on their present plus minus their present point differential, and it's 2-14. So the Dolphins have already the 2 wins that they were supposed to get this year based on how well they played. They beat a very bad Jets team, we can all agree, and they caught the Colts on their third string quarterback. So I didn't have a great feeling going in, and I think the Dolphins kind of are who they are, a very limited skill position players, basically talented player team. Team doesn't have a lot of talent, and they went out and they got their butts kicked by a better team, and I think you can expect to see more of that to come in over the last 6 weeks. Yes, their schedule is the easiest among teams competing for the number one pick. They still have the Bengals, the Giants, and the Jets again, but that doesn't give me any encouragement that they're going to look much better. They're losing players. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Bob McCain's done for the year. He's been dealing with a shoulder injury for weeks now, which got worse again. on Sunday. They don't have a lot of talent. They're going in the wrong direction that way. And we all thought going into the year there'd be a one, maybe two win team. Have they gotten those two wins in the last 2 weeks? They very well might have. And it's going to be a rough 6 weeks to end the season.
Kalen Ballage, 9 carries, 9 yards. I mean, his yard per carry this year, I think, is what, 1.9 yards per carry.
It was bad.
Is the love affair with Kalen Ballage? Are we done with that now? Can we get some Miles Gaskins and Patrick Laird? I know it sounds weird, but I think we've seen enough of Kalen Ballage.
Whose love affair, my friend? Is it yours? Not mine.
The coaching staff. I mean, they started him above Kenyon Drake. They just clearly the dude is not great when he gets contact. I think he's one of the worst at yards after contact in the NFL. And you gave Patrick Laird 1 carry, 7 yards. You gave Jakeem Grant 1 carry, 7 yards. I mean, look, it's a very small sample size, but I think we've seen enough of Kalen Ballage, man.
Well, yes, and he's playing because Mark Walton's suspended, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark Walton was on the active roster. We would not have seen the last 2 weeks that we did in terms of volume. I think he had 20-some-odd carries in the Colts game, which was kind of jaw-dropping to me. And then, again, he struggled yesterday. So, no, I mean, he's a limited player who probably won't be on the team in 2020. And I think you can say that for a lot of different positions. There are a bunch of offensive linemen that you can say that about. There are a bunch of defensive backs you can say that about. It's crazy, guys. If you would remove Ballage's 75-yard touchdown run against the Vikings last year,
I've done this math. You never can.
I mean, yeah, it's really bad. It's like historically bad, his average. And, yes, you can blame some of it on the offensive line. The coaches have a tendency of doing that, saying he's not getting a lot of help. You know who else didn't get a lot of help, guys? Mark Walton, and he's not averaging 1.9 yards a carry. So there's something to this. He's a limited player who's probably has a limited time left on the Miami Dolphins, if not the National Football League. This year is about finding out who can play, guys, and I think you can write the book on Kalen Ballage, and you know what side of the ledger to put him on.
Now, Beasley, we know that the glaring weakness on offense is, quite frankly, the five guys up front. Now, do you see the Dolphins addressing that issue primarily in free agency, or do you see the Dolphins addressing that issue primarily in the draft, or both?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think they'll target a bunch of guys they like in free agency. They'll probably end up with, you know, half of those guys that they target because they can't sign everybody, and you don't know where the money's going to come from and how much. So they'll add one, if not two, starters in free agency. And they'll add one, if not two, starters in the draft. I mean, we forget at times that it's not all about the quarterback, and we can get into the quarterback situation if you want. But, yeah, there are other needs that they're going to have to address with those 14 draft picks, with those 6 picks in the first 2 days. And offensive line is definitely one of them. It would not at all surprise me if they use their 2nd of 3 first-round picks on a tackle, if they go out and got a guard in the 2nd or 3rd round. I think what they haven't done in a long time, which would benefit them, is to draft a legit center. They draft these guys that they say they can play every position and they're interchangeable, they can do a bunch of stuff. And to me, that means they can't do anything well. And Michael Dieter, to me, has been a big disappointment. I know he's played a lot of snaps. He just hasn't played at a high level in those snaps. And so I think they're going to need to add a bunch of offensive linemen. They have a handful under contract next year. Wouldn't surprise me if they brought Bain back as a backup and, you know, maybe Jesse Davis settles into the right position for him. We don't know what the position is. It's definitely not left tackle. It's probably not right tackle. My guess is somewhere on the interior. They'll have some options there. But, no, they need to get better at all positions. An offensive line, I think, is at the top of the list. It's crazy because Chris Greer talked about this year, 2019, as the year that he fixed the trenches. And to be frank, I don't see it all being fixed. In fact, I see it being worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
And Christian Wilkins, you know, he's a solid player. He's not a great player. He's not an impact player. You kind of wish maybe you get more out of the number 13 pick and what the production you're getting out of him. But, yeah, they're going to have to use an incredible amount of resources, again, on the offensive line. And I think that includes a first-round pick.
Beasley, the wide receiver position, a two-part question here. The production you've seen from Devontae Parker, is it something that you know, it's sustainable in the long term, because I know he's putting up numbers, but, you know, Fitzpatrick had to throw 45 times yesterday for him to get those 7 receptions. And the other question is the wide receiver position kind of set for next year, because you have Albert Wilson, Devontae, Allen Hurns, and Preston Williams all under contract, plus Jakeem Grant as well.
Yeah, first of all, about Devontae, his 7 catches were on 10 targets. That's really good. Like, he'll take that. That is efficient, and he had, 135 yards on 10 targets. That's about as efficient as it gets. I mean, if you're averaging 13.5 yards every time someone throws the ball to you, and I know he doesn't have that for the season, but one game, I don't care who you are, you're an efficient player. And, look, I've been one of the biggest skeptics on Devontae Parker, and I've pointed out his shortcomings in the past. I think it's time to tip your hat to the guy and say, look, you're finally healthy. The most important statistic he has this year is 0. That's number of games missed due to injury. He's made, 10 appearances in 10 weeks. That's all good stuff. And he's under contract for a song next year. I think his base salary is something like $4-4.5 million. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, guys. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He goes over 1,000. He's got 10 weeks left. He needs 6 weeks left. He needs 400 yards. That's 65, 70 yards a game. He can get that. And I think he deserves it. I think he's averaging he is playing at a high level. And you can say it's a high level for the Dolphins. You can say it's someone's got to catch those balls and gain those yards. Is he a number one receiver? No, but he's a solid number two for any team the way he's playing right now. Can that carry over to 2020? I hope. I hope the lessons he's learned from the past and the best practices he's put in place this past offseason and during the season continue, because it's encouraging. And you see now what coaches all along have been hoping for, the monster numbers they said they was going to put up. He's going to be a beast. And all this hype we heard about Devontae Parker that never came to fruition, some of it was his own doing, not taking the game seriously, but a lot of it was his body failing him. And his body hasn't failed him this year. So I think, yes, he is part of a pretty good nucleus of receivers. We don't know about Preston Williams' health. I think that's the biggest question mark. If it's a 12-month ACL, which is what Cordarrelle Tankersley's was, then you're not going to get much out of him next year. If it's a 9-month ACL, which they're hoping it is, and he's back, running around in the summer and does a little bit during training camp, then hell, maybe they'll have something. And I don't think, the offense has struggles. An offense obviously has shortcomings. But I don't know how much that's based on the receivers. The drops they had earlier in the year, they seem to have gone away. Now, the fumbles are a different story. They got to stop doing that. But they're catching the football at a higher rate than they were the first 3-4 weeks of the season. And they're being productive. Is this the best group of the receivers in the league? Obviously not. But it's certainly a group you can work with. And if you look at how the Patriots were structured, aside from years when they had Randy Moss and they thought they were going to have AB doing it this year, they spread the ball around. They beat you with a lot of different guys in a lot of different ways. And I think that's what the Dolphins want. I think they're going to add a guy either in the draft or free agency to improve that group. But that's one position going into the offseason I'm not worried about. I think they'll be able to get production out of those guys, and they have the makings of a good group.
Now, let's address the quarterback position, and I'm going to personally ask you. Now, I understand that things are a little still unclear and people are kind of, I guess, making assumptions as far as when Tua may be fully healthy or not. Where do you see, or where would you draft him at if you were the Dolphins and you had the opportunity? I mean, would it be with that first initial pick you have, or would it be with Pittsburgh's pick, which would probably be like, let's just say, maybe around 10, 11, 12, or 13?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be more like 14 or 15.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to be the storyline of the offseason, guys.
Correct.
To his health, how he comes back, who's interested in him, how much is it a smokescreen, how many teams talk crap about him behind his back to the media to hope he slides in the draft, because all that stuff's going to happen.
True.
It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before, because someone is going to get a potential franchise quarterback at a value spot. He's not going to go 1 like he may have if he had stayed healthy. He's probably not going to go 2, 3, or 4. My guess is he falls out of the top 5. He might fall out of the top 10. And when you get out of the top 10, ask Aaron Rodgers. Anything can happen in a quarterback. You can slide 5 picks. You can slide 20 picks. Who knows where the bottom will fall, where the bottom will drop out for that. So, yeah, I mean, if I were the Dolphins, first of all, I would put him through every single medical exam you can. Mm-hmm. Again, this is assuming it comes out because we don't know. He hasn't said
correct
either way. There's a possibility he comes back to Alabama. There's a possibility he comes back to Alabama and redshirts and skips next year's draft and enters the 2022 draft. There are just so many variables here we don't know. But if his hip is structurally sound, his mobility is where you need it to be, you build an offensive line around him so he doesn't take the kind of hits that will destroy him, I think he is still worth building your team around. And I think if you're the Miami Dolphins, they're going to end up with probably the 3rd, 15th, and 21st pick, something like that. That's somewhere in the neighborhood they're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm.
Three, if you pick him at 3rd, you are, as Chris Greer, you are betting your career that he is healthy.
Yeah.
If you pick him at 15, that's a value play. And that's, hey, if he works out, we took a shot. If not, we still have Chase Young who's chasing down quarterbacks, and we can go into the draft again next year. Here's guys, at this point, this is what I would like the Dolphins to do. Because I don't think they're gonna end up with the 1st or 2nd picks. And Joe Burrow, great player. I love him on my team. He's not going to be a Miami Dolphin. I'm not a huge Herbert fan. I'm just not. I see too much of Tannehill in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you want to go down that road again if you're the Dolphins. If you have the 3rd or 4th pick, you moonwalk out of there. You trade back, you get more assets. You pick up another 1st round maybe in 2021. The quarterback doesn't work out this year. You'll have 3 more 1st round picks next year. Maybe these crazy scenarios won't happen. Maybe they'll get a little luckier. Because, guys, it's insane to think that they're going to probably go 3-13 and end up with a 3rd or 4th pick. That is bonkers. That never, ever, ever happens. I mean, there's never been a team that's gone 1-15 and not ended up with the number 1 pick. And that could very well happen to the Redskins this year. The Bengals are just that bad. This is such a bottom-heavy league right now. The bottom 10 teams all have 7 or more losses. That's insane to me. It's absolutely insane that it's come to this. Maybe in 2021, the Dolphins would have better luck than they're having in 2020 when it comes to the draft. You don't need to force the quarterback. If you force the quarterback, you take the wrong guy or take the guy too high, you're going to pay for it. So I think Chris Greer's learned that lesson. I don't think he's under enormous pressure. But if they pick up more assets, if they trade back at 4 and they pick up more assets, guys, you can build a team like we've not seen. Like, the template shouldn't be the Patriots, guys. It should be the San Francisco 49ers. If you go back and look at their draft history over the last 4 years, they've had something like 50 picks in those 4 years, 45, 50 picks in those 4 or 5 years. And they've hit on a high enough percentage of them with high-level players that they're a really, really good football team. And they got their franchise quarterback with a 2nd-round pick via trade. That's another way to build the roster. It doesn't have to be with the number 1 pick of the draft with the best college quarterback coming out. They're not going to have that chance. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to end up with the number 1 pick. So you have to think of ways to build your roster, not just at the quarterback position, but from 1 to 53. I think Chris Greer is smart enough to spend enough time around a losing franchise to know that's not the way to do it.
Talking to Adam Beasley here, covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Last question, Bees, before we get you out. I just want to follow up there on something you said. What did you say? How many teams have, 7 losses in the NFL? What was the stat that you said there?
Yeah, I think there are 9 or 10 teams with at least 7 losses already.
So what do you attribute that to? Is that teams, I don't know, not fielding the best competitive team that they can, such as the Dolphins did this season? Or is that just, hey, we're having an anomaly season where a lot of teams are bad? Because I see this slowly going into a direction of baseball. When you look at the baseball standings 10 years ago, right, you didn't see teams. Every once in a while, you saw the 110, 120 loss team. But now every year, you see 3 or 4 teams with 105 to 110 losses in baseball. And that wasn't happening 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of factors. I think there's some of that. But it doesn't explain the Atlanta Falcons, who have the league's biggest payroll. Mm-hmm. Their payroll is twice the size of the Dolphins, being, 3-7? That doesn't explain that.
True.
Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes injuries happen. And maybe you get to the end of the season and, the teams that are 3-7 now end up 6-10. You know, right? Maybe that happens. It doesn't look nearly as bottom-heavy as it does now. But I don't think, look, do you think the New York Giants have been tanking? No, Gettleman's trying to win. They're just a bad football team. Do you think the Cardinals were tanking this year? No, they're just around a young quarterback that doesn't have enough talent. Now, the Bengals are a story all to their own because they entered the season trying to win, but they hired a coach who's over his head, and their quarterback is not very good, and a bunch of veterans got hurt, and now guys are checked out, and they're all on the tank train now. They are legit tanking, guys. I mean, you put Ryan Finley out there at quarterback, you are trying to lose. And that's one way you can give Flores credit over what they're doing in Cincinnati, is if you want to ensure yourself a number one pick, you never pull Josh Rosen. You let him finish that Redskins game and the rest of the season, because that would have been the fastest way to losing all your games. The Bengals are doing that. The Dolphins did not. And the Redskins, come on, they're just a dumpster fire. Do you think the Redskins tried to lose this year? No. Jay Gruden wanted to keep his job. It's just they're so poorly run. I think it's more a reflection of there's been some injuries this year. Some of these quarterbacks are showing their age, and there's just a lot of poorly run franchises out there, and one of them is going to be rewarded with Joe Burrow, and they don't deserve him at all. Like, the Dolphins philosophically have set themselves up in a way that they deserve that pick more than the Bengals do, because the Bengals are going to get it just by pure ineptitude. The Dolphins at least had a plan.
You can follow Beasley on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Does a great job covering the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. A lot of good work on there. Adam, I'll see you soon. I'll talk to you soon, and we'll set up a new mountain to climb, all right?
Can you just do the skull clap for me? I want to hear it, man. Do it.
Skull! Skull!
Perfect.
Skull! All right, Beasley. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, man. Again, Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You can hear him a lot here on 790 The Ticket, making the rounds on the radio. A lot of good work. Check it out, MiamiHerald.com or on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Love talking football. Love talking Same. Dolphins, especially with Adam Beasley. Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte, Rashad Butler. Big thanks to Adam Beasley for joining us on the other side. Rashad and I were talking about Beasley's theory there in the mm-hmm. break.
I like it.
Listen, I mean, if you know Zach Duarte, you know that I love draft picks. So if Burrow's not there and Tua's not, that might be a reach at three for Tua now.
It is.
Especially if he's probably not going to play next year.
Exactly.
So you'd have to, I'm using this air quote, redshirt him in
Correct.
The NFL for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with trading back. I like Chase Young. You don't like, and for good reason, because mm-hmm. you bring up that Brian Flores comes from a system where they don't use edge rushers like Chase Young.
Correct.
They have edge rushers that do other things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be totally fine if Chase Young was there and they drafted him, but I could see Chase Young going two, and then the Dolphins being left with, and first of all, this is if the Dolphins even draft at three,
uh-huh.
because if the Dolphins win another game, they're in the middle of a cluster of teams.
Correct.
Which is like, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, it's let's see how this thing plays out, but I'm down with that too, you know. I was telling you in the break, mm-hmm. get me this draft's Josh Jacobs.
Yes, and everyone's saying that person is J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State.
You know, like, we were so quick to judge John Gruden, right?
Yes, we were.
Who has come out better so far, John Gruden or the Bears?
You're right, John Gruden.
Because John Gruden got an edge rusher in Cleveland Farrell, who's having, I think, a solid rookie season.
Yeah, developing.
Josh Jacobs is going to be one of the best running backs in the league in two or three years.
Uh-huh.
They got that safety who got hurt for the rest of the year.
Jonathan Abram.
And they also have the Bears' first-round pick, which at this point
Correct.
Is a top 12 pick.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Next season.
Yeah.
And if you saw yesterday, Khalil Mack was missing from the box score.
Mm-hmm.
No tackles, no hurries, no hits, no pass deflections, no forced fumbles. Absolutely nothing for Khalil Mack yesterday. I'm not saying that mm-hmm. makes it a busted trade, but, you know, put some things into perspective with what Oakland's been able to do, and now I think they're the sixth playoff team mm-hmm. in the AFC right now, and Chicago is, whew,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. They are in a world of trouble in Chicago right now. So I love the theory of getting as many drafts, but at a certain point, you got to start drafting players.
No, I agree. I just, again, we talked about this over the break. I just don't see who else is worthy to be taken number three, because some people may say, well, that's where you draft your left or right tackle. And I just feel like I don't think there's any guy in this draft that screams dominant like that. Because if you're going to draft a offensive lineman that high, then that guy is going to be a day one starter. And you're expecting that guy to be a stud, like, from the get-go. Like, no excuses about this guy giving up sacks and things of that nature. Like, you're actually drafting a guy to be similar to a Joe Thomas. Because I think Joe Thomas was taken number three overall in 2007 by the Browns. And he turned out to be an absolute stud.
Well, there's also like the occasional Quentin Nelson.
Uh-huh. Right? Correct.
So if there's that guy, like, I don't really know. We're five or 6 months away from the draft. But yeah, look. Let me ask you this. This is my theory as to where we got to get to a break here. This is my theory as to where the Dolphins are going to land with all these first round picks. I think they're going to have one in the top 10.
Okay, I agree.
One in 11 through 20.
Yes.
And one in 20 through 30.
Correct.
That's what I think they'll have. Unless somehow Houston doesn't make the playoffs, then they'll have two in 11 through 20. At what point, if Tua's still on the draft board, if he does go in the draft, do you pick Tua Tagovailoa with one of those first-round picks?
I think you pick him at that second first-round pick.
Okay.
That's me.
I thought for sure you were going to say the third.
You know what? Brian Monroe said the third. I said the second, because I feel like there will be enough teams that would gladly take him around that area and actually redshirt him like you suggested for a year. And then
there are teams in that area of the draft that can afford that.
Correct, exactly. Yeah.
There's the Kansas City Chiefs who can do that with Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
There are those teams who can do that. The Dolphins, I think it'd be in their best interest to do it anyways.
Correct.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is under contract for another year. So is Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, roll those cards out and make the team better in other positions. Make draft a lineman, draft an edge rusher. The linebackers. I mean, we remember before the season, we're like, oh, Sam McGlavin.
Yeah.
Like, has that dude done anything?
Yeah. You know, to me, he's the one out of Baker and Raekwon who's really struggling. And I actually think the one who's been performing the best and has been playing the least amount of snaps is Raekwon McMillan.
Right. Yeah.
And before the season, I think we all thought that bell cow was going to be Jerome Baker.
And the fact of the matter that your best edge rusher is a guy that you picked off of waivers in week three or four is not a good sign. By the way, Charles Harris is MIA.
Yeah.
I mean, his time, like Beasley said there about Kalen Ballage, the NFL punch card on Charles Harris is coming for that clock out, man. So, all right, 679-74 is where you can text in. We'll be on the air till 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk to Iron Winterman in about 30 minutes here. We'll give you your headlines, update you on anything that's going on in the sporting universe. You can text us again, 679-74. Zach Duarte, Rashad Butler here on 790 The Ticket till 10 o'clock tonight.